Hi, and welcome to The Happy Runner, a podcast for all who love running and those who want to start running. My name is Roman, and today I host Scott, an endurance runner from Wales who was the first Welsh person in so many different running events. But before we start with our chat about his running story, make sure to subscribe to the Happy Runner podcast, recommend it to other runners you know, and if you like this episode, please give it a good rating and share it on social media. It really helps the podcast. Thank you. Hi, Scott, and welcome to the Happy Runner.
Hey, Roman, it's great to be here. Hope you're well, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm okay. Thanks. So first things first, it's the Happy Runner podcast, and obviously you are a runner. But how did you came to running?
I got into running back when I was in school, when I was a youngster. So I ran the 800 meters and the 1500 meters. Then as I got older, played a lot of football and rugby, which is obviously popular in the UK. And then once I stopped playing those sports, I decided to get into running more seriously. So spent a bit of time doing some half marathons and then eventually went on to run 2,000 miles across America.
We'll get to this one later. First, I took a look at your web page, and I will leave a link to the page in the description of this podcast so our listeners can look it up by themselves. It looks like you are the first Welsh person who finished many different races. The latest one was Bigfoot 200 Endurance Run in 2022. It took you 82 hours and 22 minutes, yes?
Yes, that's right.
And since today, I never spoke to a runner who ran for 82 hours. So, would you please be so kind to talk us through the race?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'd love to. So, for your listeners, the Bigfoot 200 is a 200-mile point-to-point race in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. It takes place in the Cascade Mountains, which include kind of climbs like, you know, Mount St. Helens, those kind of areas. So really, really scenic part of the world. It's 209 miles long, and it has 48,000 feet of elevation incline and 48,000 feet of elevation decline. Obviously, doing a race like that presents considerable challenges, not just from a running perspective, but also, you know, making sure you've got enough fuel, enough hydration, indeed, you know, trying to get a bit of sleep here and there, but also dealing with the problems that come up, you know, blisters, you know, bad trails, those kind of things as well. So there's a lot of problem management in those kind of races. But yeah, it took me 82 hours and it was a great experience, a beautiful course to run.
And back in 2021, you ran the Badwater 135. Badwater is actually located in Death Valley, also in the western part of the United States. I've been there and it's hot like hell. So how do you even train for such conditions?
Yeah, the Badwater 135, again, for your listeners, takes place in July in Death Valley in California. It's around about 52 degrees Celsius during the daytime in that race. 135 miles along a tarmac strip of road. And as you can imagine, it's incredibly hot. So preparing for a race like that is difficult when you come from a place like the UK, where it rains quite a lot, as everyone knows. So I was able to do a couple of things. It involved acclimatization in a sauna and also putting some heaters around my treadmill. popping lots of layers on, and then running on the treadmill as well. Those kind of things are really, important for the heat adaptation that you need to take place, so that when you get to a place like Death Valley, you're not putting your life in jeopardy running in those kind of conditions.
And how was the race itself?
The race was amazing. Yeah, it was a super cool experience. It's something that I'd wanted to do for 10 years, and I'd built up my running CV to a point where I applied to the race and was very fortunate to be accepted. It's an incredibly tough race. It's billed as the world's toughest foot race, and I'd certainly have to agree with that. It's a relentless slog across the hottest place on earth, and to run in those kind of conditions is hard to describe what a visceral and difficult situation it is. But the only kind of comparison I could draw is when you cook your dinner at night in the oven, perhaps you open the oven door and you get that waft of heat that hits you in your face. It's a little bit like running in that kind of temperature for 135 miles. So it took me 42 hours. I became the second Welsh person ever and the 924th person in history to complete that race. So I feel very fortunate to have had that opportunity. And the first Welsh person was my brother in 2019 as well. So it was a family affair, so to speak.
And you also created your own running challenges. One, the Iceland 200-mile run. So Badwater was hot like hell, and I assume that Iceland was quite the opposite. What was easier for you?
I would say running in the cold is easier for me, and you're absolutely right, Roman. It was so cold up there in Iceland. I believe it was April when we did it back then, and it was raining a lot, so I was acclimatized to those kind of conditions coming from Wales and London here in the UK. I always think it's slightly easier, and I'm sure your listeners probably agree, to kind of warm yourself up when you're out running, because naturally you get warm or you can put more layers on. It's very tricky when you reach a certain temperature to cool yourself down, especially when you're in a place like Death Valley where, there is no shade. It's just a relentless beating of the sun from the moment that it comes up in the morning to the moment that it goes down at night, and there's no hiding place in those conditions. And as you will know, those kind of conditions are deadly if you haven't got the preparation and your approach to the race right. So they were both great challenges. They certainly pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And the great thing I love about ultra running is that that's something that I continually do, is push myself outside my comfort zone and try to learn more about myself. And I'm still on that journey.
So those three races we touched now are actually all over 100 miles long. They take from 40 to 80 hours approximately to finish them. How do you mentally prepare yourself for such races? Must be tough out there.
It is tough. The longest I've ever run was 250 miles back in 2022. I ran a race called the Cocodona 250 down in Arizona, and that's 250 miles. So that was a pretty brutal race, and I ran for 96 hours in that one. And there was a couple of things that I did leading up to the race. I actually spent quite a bit of time training on the treadmill, and the reason for that was twofold. Number one, I was able to kind of put the heaters around the treadmill. Coming out of a British winter and running a race like that in May in Arizona was obviously going to be challenging. And number two, I realized that actually, if I did some of my training from a mental perspective on the treadmill, it's quite boring. Most runners want to be outside. I realized that when I got to Arizona and was out on these beautiful trails, Sedona and Mount Eldon and all the way up to Flagstaff there, that actually, the stimulation from being outdoors in those beautiful areas would give me something mentally positive to enjoy. And that was proven right, actually. So during the course of that race, I rolled my ankle quite significantly about 90 miles into the race, and it immediately swelled right up. And I'm thinking, wow, I've got 160 miles still to go on this ankle that's now completely rolled and in a bad way. And I kind of took stock of the situation, and I was able to kind of focus on the positives. Well, you're in a beautiful place. If you want to see more of that, you've got to keep moving forward. And then I thought about the reasons that I was doing that race, and that was to raise money for Operation Smile. And then I thought, well, actually, if I can just get to the next aid station and get some painkillers, I can see my support team, they'll look after me, and then we'll reassess. And that's how you move through those distances, is you it's step by step, it's section by section, it's mile by mile until you're done. And I think the mental preparation beforehand, and having those little bits that you can focus on during the race, the why, if you like, behind why you're doing it, allowed me to run 160 miles to the 250 mile finish line with a bum ankle. So there's plenty of tips there you can take to try and apply to your mental game as much as your physical as well.
So, Scott, you are an ambassador for the Operation Smile charity. What is the purpose of this charity and your work as an ambassador for them?
And thanks for asking about this, Roman. It's something that I'm very passionate about, and it's very important to me. So Operation Smile is a charity which performs surgical intervention for children with cleft lips and cleft palates all around the world. So in the countries which they operate, there's over 5 million people that still need treatment for cleft lips and cleft palates. And to me, people are quite often ostracized from this society for these kind of deformities which they are born with, and there's no way to correct them in developing nations. And I think, Operation Smile do an amazing job of helping these people to live a normal life and be able to eat and drink and do the one thing that we all take for granted, which is smile. I met you on this call this evening. We greeted each other with a nice warm smile, and I think that must be so sad for people not to have that opportunity. So for me to support this wonderful charity is something I'm very passionate about. And also, back in 2015, I was very fortunate to be sent on a mission of theirs to a small town in northern Ethiopia called Mekele. I learned a lot more about that charity on that journey, and subsequently wanted to become an ambassador for them and really help them as much as I possibly can. And to date, I've raised 93 smiles, which very proud of, but I want to do more and hopefully get to 100 smiles during the course of the year. That would be great.
So you mentioned this before. Back in 2010, you ran 75 marathons in 75 days. I run 2 marathons a year and I need 3 to 4 weeks to fully recover after each and every one of them. How do you even manage to recover? Not only during, let's say, running 75 marathons in 75 days, but also during those endurance events.
I think, yeah, the two, I think, going back 13 years to that event, as you say, we ran 2,000 miles in 75 days, 75 marathons in 75 days. And when I think back to it, like, there was no recovery protocol on a day-to-day basis. It wasn't like we'd stop running and start stretching and do yoga and, get cryotherapy and all those kind of things. That just simply wasn't the way it was. We literally just went out and ran 26 miles a day. And I'm sure it was not at the pace that you compete at your marathons, but it was a case of, this is an adventure run, and we're going to try and get these 26 miles done during the course of the day. At the end of the day, we would literally just get in the car, go to the nearest town, find somewhere to eat, find somewhere to sleep, get up, repeat, do it all over again. And it was very much a case of, actually the focus of wanting to raise money for charity kept moving us forward. It was also interesting to see how the body adapted. The first 2 weeks, my body really, really hurt. Everything ached, everything was painful. And then it kind of regressed back into a kind of state where actually it became almost like a job. We'd get up, we'd eat, we'd run. We'd eat, we'd run. And it was almost, like the thing that kind of stood out to me. It was like it almost felt like this is what we were meant to be doing as humans, being out, being active, feeling the wind, the rain, the elements in the face. And I truly believe that somewhere along the way, we as humans mistook comfort for happiness. And actually, I think in my own mind, I've been proved right over that over the last 13 years. Some of the happiest and most treasured moments I have are actually, some of the toughest moments when I reflect on them, being at 10,000 feet, minus four in the middle of the night, running a 200-mile ultra marathon, whatever it is. The recovery thing is something that's definitely got better over the course of the last 13 years. And I've got older, more knowledgeable. And now when I do these big ultra marathons that take 96 hours or 80 hours, whatever it may be, I'm very mindful of trying to do the right things. But it's a journey, right? And every day's an opportunity to learn. I'm still learning, but I enjoy the journey very much.
We are all learning day by day, I think. And each and every year, more and more people decide to start running. What would be your, let's say, three biggest tips to those who just started recently?
Number one, do it with a smile on your face. It's something that we're privileged to do. Not everyone gets the opportunity to do that, and I think enjoy it. Number two, I would say, find a reason, a motivating factor to get out and run. For me, I truly believe that as we get older in life, what are going to be the times that you remember? Well, for me personally, I think it'll be the times that I had an adventure with friends, with family, with colleagues, and also did some good at the same time. And that's the real why for me. And then number three, what could number three be? I think number three would be that actually, whilst running is a physical endeavor, I would argue that it's very much a mental endeavor as well. Because, in my experience, once you kind of get to a certain distance, it will hurt. And actually, it's up to the power of your mind to keep moving forward more often than not, than actually physical capability to keep moving forward. So those would be my three tips.
I know that 2023 just started a month or two ago, but I'm sure that you have plans for your next challenge or challenges. So, what are your running plans till the end of this year?
I got a few plans, Roman, for sure. The number one thing for me is that I really want to raise 100 smiles through my running. As I said, I'm on 93. It's only seven more. Each smile costs £150 to perform that surgical correction for the children. So my number one goal is to raise those seven smiles. Outside of that, I've got a couple of 200 milers planned, and may even make another appearance at Badwater. You'll never know. So that would be cool too. Still waiting to find out about that. But other than that, it's just going to be a case of trying to do the best that I can to help others this year for my running.
So, thank you, Scott, for your time today, all the insights into your running, and the tips you gave to our listeners.
It's my absolute pleasure, Roman. I'm very grateful for you having me on the show, and I wish you and all your listeners and runners out there very well. And do it with a smile on your face.
I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. If so, I would appreciate you subscribe to the Happy Runner podcast and share it with your running friends. It also helps a lot if you give this episode or the podcast a good rating. Thank you and happy running!